You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Tuesday afternoon show. Lot to talk about. I think we'll at least talk about it for the first few minutes here, and then I think what we're going to do is go to the Sean Miller press conference from the Pac-12 conference or media day today in San Francisco. And at 6:30, I'm going to have my guy Tony call in. Tony's a frequent caller, obviously. He's going to sponsor part of the show, so we're going to talk about that and his commitment to this program and the U of A and things like that. We might have some fun things in store. But first of all, let's go to the Pac-12 media poll. It's not, I guess, maybe a little surprising. I probably would have put Arizona number two. I didn't have a vote this year. I just didn't vote this year. But I think it was obvious Oregon number one. And then after that, it was Colorado, Washington, Arizona, USC, Arizona State, Oregon State, UCLA, Utah, Stanford, Washington State, and California. The big surprise to me, even though I cover the team from time to time, Arizona at four. I think most people had them at two, maybe three, but finished at four. It kind of shows you where the rest of the conference in terms of the media has Arizona. A good group, but prove it to me before I vote or like you. So Oregon, number one. Again, Colorado, number two, which that was pretty surprising to me. Washington, three, then Arizona, then USC.
What's Oregon got going for them? They got a lot of returnees?
Returners. And
but they don't have, what's his name? The tall kid who didn't play last season?
No, he's not there.
No.
But Oregon's going to be the team to beat.
All right, so tell me about them.
They're going to be just good. They were good last year. They're going to be better this year.
They got a big man?
Oh, yeah. They're Oregon. They got a lot of things. In fact,
they got
trees. Could you Google Pac-12? I know Anthony had a story in it yesterday or today about odds to win the Pac-12 conference. I think Oregon was one. Arizona was number two. And I don't know how it fell after that. But Arizona fell to three. And let me tell you something. The people who vote for this, I think there were, 24 voters, two from probably each school. Obviously people who know what they're talking about, but only 24 people who voted. So, and it's the media, so they typically get it wrong, at least at the beginning. And who knows if they'll get this wrong? You'll come up with the odds, and we'll see what you're probably going to go. You're probably in football. You have to clarify. I would probably, if I were a betting man, I would probably put some money on Arizona to win it all. At least in the regular season conference championship, because you probably get good odds. They're good enough to win. And we'll see. There you go. You're kind of in the area now. No. That's not going to give you what you want. Let's go up a little. Up the other way. Right there. Check that one out. No, right there. Yes. So we'll see what happens. I don't think the... No, we'll see. Okay, I'm not going to talk about that anymore with the gods. So it was strange, and then Sean talked for about 14 minutes out there in San Francisco. He had Paceman is his dad, about the same age, Nico Mannion and Mr. Green, and we'll see how that goes. I didn't see their interviews yet, but I used to go to these things for 23 straight years, and long day of getting a bunch of canned quotes and talks about the teams. And where they sit, I think the ones at the bottom are very obvious. Oregon State, UCLA. It's funny how UCLA is number eight. Utah, Stanford, Washington State, and California. I think that Mick Cronin talked a little about Shareef O'Neal as he comes back from his heart condition. So we'll see how that goes. I think probably UCLA do better than what people think. They're picked to finish eighth. Cronin's a pretty good coach, and a lot of it has to do with coaching, especially in this league with a lot of new coaches in. I think there's about three or four in the league this year. Washington State replaced theirs, UCLA, I think Cal, and that could be it. That's three. I'm thinking. It is what it is. Not a surprise to me. I'm thinking people in Tucson are a bit surprised and a little upset, given that their hometown team is being snubbed. And at least what I saw on Facebook and internet was that Facebook and Twitter was that this will give Arizona a motivation to do well this year.
According to the CBS Sports
odds
item.
Is this from today? Is this today's?
I think it is.
No, that's not.
No, it's not.
It's not. It's fine. Anthony, I'll check Anthony's story because I'll have to go to Twitter or whatever. But it was Oregon, Arizona, at least in the betting area, which is not obviously official, but it's probably more accurate than what we see in the world of media voting. So I'm trying to find it real quick. Here we go. Let's see here. And I just think that Vegas. Here we go. And now that Anthony writes for Maven and SI.com. Here we go. So I got it. Arizona second, Washington close third, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Doesn't say the odds. Oh, here we go. Okay. Taking two of this. Oregon is plus 200 with the DraftKings, and Arizona is at 275. So Arizona and Washington are tied for second at 275. So if you bet $100, you'd get $375 back. Which I guess that's 2.7 to 1. I think I would take that because back or when the regular season's over, you probably get them lower than that at the Pac-12 tournament in Vegas. So this probably
Washington getting a bunch of returnees as well.
Yes.
So at this point in time, would you say that
in
the
October?
Biggest question mark in most people's minds is Arizona? As far as not really knowing what Arizona has yet?
That's good. I guess so. If I were doing this show in Colorado, I would think the same thing. But even Colorado was ahead of them. So it's very bizarre.
And that's probably why.
What's that?
Wouldn't you say that 3 months ago, most people would have put Arizona at number two?
Oh yeah, and in the magazines and the preseason magazines, I think it's Oregon ahead of them, and then Arizona was in the top 20, but not very high.
So that's why I'm thinking there's a question mark in a lot of people's minds. They're not sure about Arizona.
Would you be? You're not.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I have to admit, based on what you've told me about Oregon and Washington, I would probably say at this point in time we'd have to say that. We know more about those guys than we do about Arizona, so just for that reason alone, I guess we might put them above Arizona.
No, exactly. And how much trust are you going to put in the youth of Arizona's basketball team?
Well, yeah, freshmen. How are they going to adapt to the college level? Is the speed of the college game and all the things that go along with having a good basketball IQ when you're out there on the floor?
Yeah. My prediction is going to be they're going to take it in very well. The schedule is soft enough at the beginning where they'll learn very quickly. And by all accounts, and I don't know this to be true, that the chemistry is good. I've seen over the last couple of years the chemistry wasn't all that good. So we'll see how that goes throughout the year. In fact, Sean gave a very honest answer. It's almost day to day, given the situation and circumstances, time and place. So we'll see what happens with that.
Well, if Mannion turns out to be that, quote, coach on the floor type of player, like a T.J. McConnell, and that could help bring the team around a lot faster.
No question. And I think that he is that type of player. So let's take a quick break here so we can get a lot of Sean's press conference in on the other side here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. And let's kind of go quickly to the Sean Miller press conference, at least a portion of it, and come back on the other side.
Well, we're finally excited to tip off a brand new season. A lot of people have asked me questions about a year ago, and no different than previous seasons. We have a lot of new players. This year we happen to have 8 new players, so regardless of what happened a year ago, very few of this year's team were a part of it. And of the new players, we have 4 freshmen, and then we have a really solid group of transfers, a couple that will be eligible immediately, and really looking forward to blending the entire group together. Nico Mannion and Josh Green represent us here today in terms of the players that I brought. Both are freshmen. But we don't really look at them as freshmen. You know, those guys are really seasoned. They're going to be a big part of what we do. And both are tremendous kids. Great kids, come from great families. And we're excited to have them as a part of our program.
All right. We'll open it up to questions now. Please feel free to approach the podium with Coach Miller and the student athletes in the back of the room.
Hello.
All right. So Coach Boyle was talking about he was going to press a little more this season. So I was just curious. It seems that they were talking about pressing in general. And, I mean, he was going to play more zone defense. So is that something that you've entertained at all?
You know, no. I think the last 2 years, you know, one of the things we're excited about is to improve and get our defense back. If you look at maybe where we once were, mm-hmm. We had a lot of pride in our man-to-man defense, and usually the defensive teams are able to win on the road, get better as the year grows. Mm-hmm. You get into those tough games in February and March, you have to be able to do both score and play defense. But we're hard at work at our defense, but you know, in terms of us changing a whole lot, I don't think we'll do that.
And then Dylan Smith, you know, what does he bring to your team? Because there's a lot of confusion, it seems. I always feel like he's the glue guy for your team.
Dylan's one of those rare players in college basketball that he's a senior, number one. But he's also contributed on a number of teams, you know, that he's been a part of. He's an older guy that works very hard. I think he's one of our team's best perimeter defenders, and you know, along the lines of what you asked me a second ago about our defense, you know, he's part of the solution, I believe, moving forward for us this season.
And you talk about the fans a lot and their support, and I've seen it too. You talk a little bit about how your fans are so wonderful.
You know, the fans at Arizona, I mean, they've been a part of our program for decades, well before I ever showed up. Coach Olson, in many ways, you know, created that love affair between the community and our basketball program, and it's continued. You know, when we're in challenging times, sometimes it's in a game where we're not playing well, especially at home, they become the loudest. As a lot of people in this room know, our fans travel. In our away games, especially on the road in the Pac-12, you can hear them, you can hear the pockets of them. And, you know, going to the Pac-12 tournament, especially not a year ago, but 2 and 3 years ago, I mean, it looked like a home game. So no doubt, we're very fortunate. Whoever the coach is at Arizona, I happen to be that coach right now. I'm very fortunate to have fans like that are not only passionate, and love the Arizona Wildcats, but they're also incredibly loyal. And I think our players feel that. You know, Nico and Josh, coming from our state, they know that, and I think it's a big reason why people like that choose our program.
Thank you. Coach, you've been around the conference for a decade now. Two of the last 3 years, 5 McDonald's All-Americans have come into the Pac-12. You have a couple this year. How have you kind of seen the talent pool rise in recent years around the conference?
Well, if I go back a decade, you know, ago when I came to Arizona, when our staff, you know, was brand new, you know, it's amazing to think about how many great players our conference has produced. I think the numbers in the NBA speak for themselves. A few years ago, you know, you had Markelle Fultz, number 1 pick. You know, you had Lonzo Ball, you had Lauri Markkanen. You had three lottery picks who were all in their first year from three different programs. You know, we followed that up with, obviously, DeAndre Ayton being the number one pick 2 years ago. So, you know, that's just a small sampling. When I think of players in our conference, I think of Isaiah Thomas at Washington, you know, who's gone on to have an amazing NBA career. But when he was playing in college, but he was really tough to deal with. Klay Thompson, you know, first couple of years when you played Washington State, he was on their team, and you look at what he's become. So no doubt about it. And then when it comes to our program, we're fortunate. A couple weeks ago, Andre Iguodala shared a lot of his time with our team, you know, behind the scenes in our locker room, and talked to them about life after basketball. But you think about what Andre's become, an iconic NBA player playing here with the Golden State Warriors. So no question. I think Pac-12, when it comes to producing talent and welcoming talent, and this year, to your point, there's some incredible freshmen in our conference, and I think that bodes well for the season ahead.
And sorry if you've been asked this before, but speaking about your freshmen, Nico and Josh, what have you seen from them in practice thus far? What are your expectations for them this year?
I think the first thing you want from the most highly regarded incoming freshmen is that they're coachable, that they don't think they have all the answers, and they're not just at Arizona to reach their own individual goals, that they came here to be a part of a team and to compete for championships and win, and also that they recognize that they have things they need to do better and work at. That's why they came to college, and hopefully that's one big reason they picked our program, that they feel like they can grow and develop. Josh and Nico, and really Christian and Zeke, because those are the four incoming freshmen. Those four guys all have that same characteristic, that they're very coachable, and I think they're all very good teammates in their own right.
Having Stanley and Rondé on the same Toronto Raptors team that just won the championship, how special is that they're back to, the duo is back together?
Well, we're proud of Stanley, we're proud of Rondé, and you're right, they're with the world champion Toronto Raptors. I think both of them are at pivotal parts of their career, and I know they both have had very good off seasons. So, you know, we wish all of our NBA family luck. We have coaches like the Steve Kerr right here in Golden State Warriors that's a part of our basketball program's, you know, family. So there's a lot of them out there, and it's exciting to see all of them do well. But yeah, the fact they're on the same team, it is, it's ironic.
I got to know Jordan Brown pretty well, and he was being recruited and his family. I was just kind of curious what you expect him to bring to the program and how he's kind of fitting in so far.
No, Jordan Brown, I'm glad you asked about him. The way I would explain Jordan Brown as a part of what we do, you know, there's not a high school player that we can go out and recruit this year that could come to us and impact next year more than him. And the fact that he's with us every day, man, he has a quality that he plays hard on every possession. And when you play the game with great effort and you're talented, you can't help but improve. And Jordan is going to be a really important part of our future. And he's already helped us right now, because you can imagine, you know, our front court, just on a daily basis, they can really challenge each other. Having Jordan, who doesn't play in games but is able to practice hard, it's been something that's really helped all of our front court players. And it helps Jordan as well, because, you know, you have a battle of Ira Lee and Chase Jeter, Jordan Brown, Christian Coloco, Zeke Nnaji, Stone Gettings. Those guys all play against each other every day, and it's really made for an early competitive environment.
You touched on Stone. I was a graduate transfer coming in, average like 14, 15 points a game at Cornell. What do you expect from him this year for you guys in this year?
Well, Stone Gettings is 6'9", and but he's different than the rest of our front court, which I think is something. He is more offensive oriented, away from the basket, and he's one of our team's best 3-point shooters. He's very skilled. And when you put a roster together, you know, having players that maybe are both the same height but are versatile, different from each other, I think it makes you a much, much better team, and I think a team that can be more successful. So we're counting on Stone, and he's off to a really good start. He, believe it or not, he won our mile run, which we do every year. And, you know, Stone's 6'9", maybe 240, and he ran a 5:13 mile. So I think that shows you kind of his mindset.
Go, Sean Miller, at least for the first 10 minutes of his press conference. It lasted about 17 minutes. Talked a lot about a variety of different things. But I think it was a good day, at least to that point. No one asked him about the NCAA investigation, which, of course, everybody did last year. That was like the nonstop topic. Or 2 years ago, that's what it was. 2 years ago. Last year, a little bit, but not so much. So I guess welcome comfort to this year's Pac-12 tournament, Pac-12 media day. So we'll see. I think that no one asked him about finishing fourth. So
the kinder, gentler reporters.
Yes. Well, actually, yeah, there was a couple that are fans of U of A. One of them was for sure the first woman who asked the question, a big fan of U of A and writes that way. But hey, more power to her. We're going to take a break here and come back on the other side, talk to one of our sponsors here on the other side here on 1030 The Voice. Yeah, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, and now let's go to the phone lines and talk to Tony. Tony, how are you?
Doing great. It's Taco Tuesday, Steve. It's like the best day of the week.
Taco Tuesday. In fact, you probably don't listen to me in the morning with Chris, right, DeSimone?
I never have. Are you on all the time, or do you have a regular spot?
Yeah, most Tuesdays. And he asks me always Tuesday, who do I have on the show? And I say, well, it's Wing It Tuesdays. So he wants me to find out, which is a great idea, a wing place for Wing It Tuesdays on Rivera's show.
Excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
So, smart man. Well, and now I have you. We just listened to Sean. Did you listen to any of Sean?
I did. I just listened to that whole segment. It took me a second to realize that was not Tucson media asking the questions. It was actually West Coast media. I was wondering who that female was. I was going to ask you if that was Gabby. I'm like, how? Gabby's got it going on.
No. It's somebody else that's a fan of U of A. That she gets credentials to go to these things, and she's very friendly with Sean, and her questions are very soft.
Yeah, and yes, absolutely. She definitely has that touch with Sean, and she gets him to answer the question quickly and with a nice, soft tone as well. So good for her.
Good for her. We'll talk about that off the air. Hey, welcome to the show. I do want to kind of say that Tony and his business, his company, and the boss has decided to be a sponsor for the show, and we'll be doing the IRA resources. Tucson Roadrunners hockey show.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I followed the Roadrunners this weekend. They had a great first game, I see, and had a shutout, and then they were up 2-0 in the second game and gave up 5 consecutive goals, but they're on the road. They've got another road game before they finally get to come home for their home opener, but I didn't look at it too closely, and then when Adrian was on the other day, I heard that they have 34 home games. Now, that's a great opportunity for people to go out and see some hockey, especially if they've never seen it before. And as I mentioned to him that day on the call, the sounds of a hockey game are so unique, especially when you're there. It's kind of loud. How many times have you been to a hockey game in Tucson?
You're asking Mr. Naive here. I've been to one, and it was not a Roadrunners. I'm not a hockey guy.
Well, you know,
But I will be. In fact, I was there over the weekend at a fan fest event on Sunday. You know what? It's cold over there.
you got to dress differently for hockey.
I didn't realize that because I was on the floor. Obviously, people were skating because it's open ice, and I was thinking, holy, what was I thinking? It's 100 outside, but like 55 inside.
Well, you know, I think that Tucson kind of embraced the Sugar Skulls, and it really helped that they won. It really helped that they were winning, you know. And I think that the Roadrunners are set up to win as well. And I don't know if the entertainment or sports entertainment dollar is being, you know, directed away from U of A football right now. But if people are looking for something to do, it's fun. I can tell you that I've been to one of the games here in San Diego, the San Diego Gulls. They're actually a franchise that Tucson's going to play against.
I was wondering about games that. Yes.
But that arena here in San Diego is a dog. That thing's been there forever. And from what I understand, the Tucson Community Center has got some upgrades, and it's a nice place now. And so I would highly recommend to anybody who's listening right now, go out and support the Tucson Roadrunners. You may find yourself jumping on a bandwagon that you will enjoy the ride on, similarly to the way people supported the Sugar Skulls, and that was a pretty fun ride, too.
Well, let me tell you, 2 years ago when they made the playoffs, I made a decent run at it. It was hopping. It was jumping at TCC for a while there, maybe a month or so, because people were going to go see, you know how it is. People love winners.
Yeah, absolutely, especially Tucson. And who doesn't, you know? And so there's plenty of things to do now. I'm happy about it. I'm excited about it. We're happy to be able to support Tucson and your show.
And support me,
and maybe
yes.
We can generate a little business as well, you know?
Yes, yes. And let's go. Well, support me. One, you know, I always need to save some money. But hey, tell the people what you do with IRA Resources.
Well, IRA Resources, we're what's called a third-party administrator for IRA accounts. Now, I know that's confusing, but you think of your basic IRA account. It's a 401k that your employer, you know, sponsors for you, or you have a Fidelity account or a Schwab account or whatever it is, and you have retirement money. But in the self-directed industry, it's different. So the simplest way to put it is imagine buying a car or a house, or you use some kind of a broker to select your car for you or select your house for you or even your clothes or groceries or your vacation, right? You go ahead and you take your money and you give it to another person and you say, go pick a car for me because I trust you. And I trust that you're going to get me the car that I want. Or go get me the house that I want and I'm going to be okay with it. Why would you do that, right? And so people are doing that with their retirement accounts as well. So in the self-directed IRA industry, which has been around for a long time, and we're a company that's been in business for 26 years. This is the first time that we've gone into the Tucson market. You get to choose non-traditional types of assets, alternative assets that you can invest in. You make the choices about what you're going to invest in. You can take your money from your 401k and you can roll it over into a self-directed IRA account. You can take your money from some other IRA account and roll it over and make investments in things that you want to. Say, for example, there's a place in Tucson that you know I love, Trident, right? Trident started with one restaurant. They've now got five. Now, if Trident said to you, or they announced that, for example, I don't know that this is going to happen. I'm just making this up. This is a hypothetical situation. Trident says, we're going to build a brewery. It's going to be Trident Brewing Company, but we need investors, right? So they're going to sell shares. For $25,000, they're offering 20 shares to people. They want to raise $500,000. Now, people would say, yes, I want to invest in that, but I don't have the money in my checking account. I don't have the money in my savings account to do that. But you might have the money in your retirement account. So you could actually take the money out of that existing retirement account, transfer it over into a self-directed account with our company, and then you would be able to invest your retirement money into the Trident Brewery, if that were to exist, as you would your normal money. So there's so many alternative assets out there that you can get involved in. One of the hot ticket items right now is rental properties. People are purchasing rental properties with their retirement money. I don't have enough money to buy a rental property. Well, do you have money in your IRA? Do you have money in your retirement account? So that's what we do. Our website, www.iraresources.com, is like an encyclopedia of IRA transactions that you can make, and it lists the transactions that you can't make, opportunities. It answers all kinds of questions. So for the listeners, if you're interested at all in, you know, developing your retirement account with greater returns and investing in the things that you want to, go to iraresources.com. You can get a free consultation real easily by just clicking. The website is fantastic. There's all kinds of information on there. So we look forward to servicing more of the Tucson market and answering any questions that any Tucson investors may have, those that want to invest the money in the things that they want to invest in, not a broker that they've simply turned their money over to in their retirement account and are basically trusting that they're going to make the right choices for them. So that's basically what we do.
Okay, we'll probably talk more about it later. I know that you're not coming down this weekend?
No, I talked with the boss this morning and we decided not to.
You're going to be, if they
the
lose.
8 o'clock start.
If they lose.
O'clock,
If they lose, guess who's going to be blamed?
Well, you know what, though? They beat NAU, and I gave my tickets to Bob Dio, right? Yeah. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to give the tickets to Eye on the Ball, and you're going to go ahead and create some kind of a contest tomorrow, and somebody's going to get those two tickets, and they are fantastic. They're right at the 50-yard line. I've had them for 25 years, and you will enjoy the game. So, callers, if you're going to call in, make sure you're ready to make a compelling argument about why you should get those two seats.
Right. No, I'm looking forward to that. Now we just need callers tomorrow to talk about it. We're going to take a quick break. Why don't you stay on the other side? We'll talk a little bit more about football and some basketball, even though or now that Sean has gone on the Pac-12 Media Day conference call there.
I'll be here.
Great, great. Let's take a break here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. Back to the phones with Tony. Let's talk a little bit about basketball. You surprised that they picked fourth?
No, not really. Really? And it doesn't, like you say, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
But
doesn't matter.
You know, if you want to follow the Las Vegas bookies and odds makers know more than sports writers do, okay? Sports writers are all failed gamblers, right?
Hey now.
They think they know more than Vegas does. But the bottom line here, and Vegas isn't always right, but if you look at the odds to win the national championship, on one website that I'm looking at right now, Arizona is at 7.5-1,
really?
Tied with Oregon. They're the 11th best odds, well, 11th worst odds, however you look at it. But down the list, they're 11th and Oregon is 12th. Now, there's also odds to make the Sweet 16, and they're in the top 12 there as well.
What are the odds for that? What are the odds for that? Where are you looking?
I'm looking at I have a website called XBet.
Okay. So tell
AG.
Me, what are the odds to Sweet 16?
The Sweet 16. Wait a minute, where did that go?
It's got to be maybe 4-1.
Odds to make Final Four. I'm sorry. Odds to make Final Four are the odds where Arizona 7.5-1. Michigan State, Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, Memphis, Louisville, Florida, Villanova, Virginia, Gonzaga, Arizona, Oregon, in that order. And then there's Texas Tech. Look at that, Texas Tech.
What are they?
And UCLA is.
Oh yeah, who's
250-1?
Because I wasn't paying. Who's number one? Who's the bet? Who's the favorite?
Number one is Michigan State. Number two is Kentucky. Number three is Duke. Number four is North Carolina. Imagine that; those four teams getting the odds to go to the Final Four.
And where do the odds start? What do the odds start at?
+140 for Michigan State. +150 for Kentucky. +200 for Duke, +300 for North Carolina. So North Carolina's 3-1 to make the final.
That's where I would go. That's where I would go. North Carolina.
Yeah, they're always a good bet. And, you know, we'll see. I'm excited. I'm so excited about this basketball season. Let me ask you a question. And you and I talked about this last year during the basketball season. Are you not surprised that Debonair Dutrieff showed up like that?
No. I think the one thing that he lacked, or two things, confidence to the level that he needed to be at, and opportunity. If you don't have any opportunity, you can't gain the confidence. And guess what? He's got it now.
Well, you know, they say also, Sean Miller's obviously a practice guy.
Yeah.
And if you practice well, then you're going to get playing time. And then also, there's that old cliche, there's practice players and then there's game players, guys that show up. Now, Debonair obviously has to learn how to practice better because that's probably why he wasn't getting a lot of playing time last year. But you and I both agreed from the very beginning, the first time we saw that guy on the floor, why the heck is he playing and why is Dylan Smith playing so much?
Right.
And I remember I said to you, I had a bet with my brother at the end of the season last year. I said, I bet you that Dylan Smith will start the first game. I don't care what happens in the offseason. Miller is going to stick with that guy, a fifth-year senior, and he's going to start the first game. I don't know if I'd win that bet right now.
Oh, no, I don't think so at all. I mean, now you have Matt. When did you make that bet? Last year or this year?
Right at the end of the season, before all the recruits signed and before all that stuff happened. I was just like, that guy loves Dylan Smith.
Did you?
And even in the press conference, he said, you know, he's a unique kind of guy. First of all, he's a senior and he's actually fifth year because he was a transfer and had to sit out a year.
He's
I'm
as old as you are.
Lives up to the potential.
He's as old as you are. Him and Trace Tinkle. Trace Tinkle. They're about 60.
Yeah. Well, he's gone, isn't he?
Or no, he's still there. He's still there.
You said their odds to win the Pac. I couldn't find odds to win the Pac-12, but it sounds to me like Oregon State has plummeted.
Yes, yes.
And if that kid's still around, they got a chance to win some games, don't you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. Let me tell you something. Did you already walk away with the ticket in your hand after you made that bet? You can't go back and fix it.
Fortunately, it was just like what we call a wolf ticket, which means I'm just barking and howling the whole time.
Good
I didn't
you.
Put any money on that one.
Good for you, because that's pretty much all it amounts to, because Dylan Smith's not going to start when he starts the season here. But, I don't know if you read my story about, Media Day here. I really like this team. One, it has some good depth, some quality athletes. It's coachable. I think Sean needs this team to be back to coaching like he can be. All the parts fit. I like it.
Well, when you can't run 5-on-5 situations in practice because you only have 7 good players,
right,
it doesn't make your team better. The best thing for your team is competition at practice every day. And he's got enough depth now that he can really have some practices. I mean, these are obvious statements, but at the same time, they're extremely important, and I don't think they can be overstated. This team will improve. Ira Lee is fighting for playing time. Stone Gettings is fighting for playing time. All these guys are fighting for playing time right now. If you're one of the 5 starters, they're deep. They're like 10, 11, 12 deep, I think. I'd have to take a closer look. But if you're one of the 5 starters, and this is what the Arizona football program has done after that first game, the thing that Sumlin said and the assistants talked to him and said, let's get the best players on the field. And they have now changed a little bit and put the best players on the field, which seems like another self-evident, obvious kind of statement.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're moving people around from their natural position to a different position or whatever, then all of a sudden now you've got the best players on the field at all times. And Arizona's he's going to be looking for the best 5 players.
Yeah, I don't think those 5 can rest on the laurels, because the guys right behind them are dying to play.
And you know what else, guys? They have to buy into the man-to-man defense. Sean is sticking with that no matter what. You could tell that in the press conference.
Yes.
He's it's man-to-man. Forget that zone stuff. These guys have got to buy into it.
Yeah, no question. And he's not changing, of course. I think that was a bad question to an obvious answer, where he's not going to change. I mean, he's Sean Miller. He's not going to change for anybody. He's not going to go to a zone. He'll play man and live and die with it.
Well, and there's let me make sure I got the math right on this one. But if you move the 3-point line back, see, if you play a zone defense, then you give up deep shots, right? You give up the shots from the outside if you play a zone. So now that the 3-point line is moved back, it gives you even another reason not to play a zone defense. You know, I don't know. I think there's times to play a zone, and I think there's times not to play a zone, but I'm not Sean Miller, and I'm not coaching the University of Arizona.
I know we don't know this because we're not there every day. I know I'm not there every day, and you can see what you see on TV. But I think that one of the things that are apparent is Arizona's playing more confidence. And you could talk about athletic ability and talent and all that stuff, but you've been a coach before. How important is that confidence when you mix it all together?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Success begets success. There's no doubt about it. The Dodgers scored 7 runs in an inning the other night, and they were talking about it last night on how contagious good hitting is, and then sure enough, the Nationals did the same thing the next night. And it happens in any sport. A confident player isn't thinking. A confident player is just reacting, and that's what it takes. And but a confident player doesn't necessarily need success to be confident. You know you're going to work through it. You know you're going to play through it. And kids, people that have doubts about themselves, it's hard to overcome that. Even as an athlete, even as an athlete with all kinds of incredible gifts and you know, you've got all the strength and speed and athletic ability, but if you're not a confident individual in your ability to win, it's hard to get that. And we've talked about this before as well, and the old school Arizona guys on the football program have talked about it. You get a bunch of guys together that know how to win and are willing to give up their own little individual deal for the representation of the program and the coach and the team, you're going to have something special. So I'm starting to see a little bit of that with this Arizona football team right now. And I got to tell you, the most impressive thing I've seen so far is that in the fourth quarter, they're outscoring their opponents 29-3 in five games.
Right, right. And you're smart enough to know they haven't really played that great of competition. I've said this
before. Doesn't matter.
No, doesn't matter.
They're Division I athletes.
Let me finish. But I do applaud them for beating the teams they needed to beat because they're not in charge of their schedule, and more power to them. This next 5-6 weeks are going to tell the tale. But that said, I think Khalil Tate is a different Khalil Tate. It has been to this point, and another applause for him.
Best I've ever seen him play quarterback. He, like I said this before too, he was playing athlete for a long time,
right,
and
right.
He played quarterback. They put it on him. They said, look, make your reads, throw the ball. He didn't throw too many bad passes. He put the ball right where it needed to be. He made the right 31-41 for 404 yards. That's pretty good. For the first time I ever saw him play, I thought, he looks a little bit like a guy who could play in the NFL with those throws and that ability. He's not looking to get out of the pocket and run. He's stepping up in the pocket. He's moving around in the pocket. He continues to look downfield. He's becoming a passer who can run rather than a runner who's learning how to pass, I think. Now, I may be overreacting, and some other people out there might be going, okay, well, we'll just wait till next week, but I was very, very impressed with the way that guy played on Saturday.
I'm one of those guys, and I'll say it that way, okay, wait till next week. Because you know, obviously Washington, USC, it's a different type of team. But if they start winning and playing better or more consistently, I'll have to say, you know what, Steve Rivera, you've been wrong all year. And I'm okay by saying that. I'm okay with saying that.
There's nothing wrong with being wrong. That's okay. You know, if they can get a win in the next three games, Washington, Stanford, USC, if they can win one of those three games, then I think they're on their way. That means they'd get to 5-3 with Oregon State left on the schedule, and hopefully they can get to 6-3 there with a couple of home games. You know, who knows what could happen? Utah, okay, and at ASU, you never know what's going to happen up there. So I'm sticking to my 7-5 with a bowl win.
Good luck with that. We got to go, Tony. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate
you. Talk to you soon.
Take care. Let's take a break here, or see you tomorrow, 10:30, The Voice.